Welcome back. During the break, I have two messages to mothers, not on the VOB WhatsApp, but on my WhatsApp. And they asked, what is the procedure if you have evidence that your child is being molested? I just quickly had to ask Dennis to be sure. There is a unit set up. I think it's the domestic unit, I believe. Christine Husbands is in charge. I'm not sure if she's sergeant. Okay. And I believe that Dennis is saying that you can go there. Of course, you can also contact the child care board. But in this regard, a crime would have been committed, at least in your mind, the crime was committed, because, of course, it has to go through the whole process of charging someone and then proving them innocent or guilty. So to the two mothers who just sent me a WhatsApp, you need to contact the nearest police station, and they in turn will put you on to the domestic unit, which, by the way, I saw an article in the newspaper, and which suggested that that unit does not function in the way it should. I want to say that from my experience, from other persons who speak about that unit, it's a unit that is needed. It functions very well. Like everything else, there's room for improvement with resources, etc., as we have a growing problem of domestic violence and child molestation. And kudos to Christine Husbands for running that unit in the way that she does. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right. Joanne, I'm just wondering, are you familiar with the amended protocol as it relates to the children wearing masks in class?
Yes.
What's your understanding of that, ma'am?
Well, while they're during class, they can take off the mask while they're doing work. But then after that, in between, of course, when we're talking about playing time and interacting with each other, they should then put the mask back on. However, I know that you have to take lunch, and sometimes kids like to eat together. So I believe in that regard, there should be some level of social distancing when they're actually eating lunch. And if they decide that they want to have a little conversation after lunch and they want to be up in each other's face, they should then wear a mask for that period. What is your understanding?
Right. Well, my understanding basically is as stated by the protocol, which is once the children are seated 6 feet apart, they are permitted to remove the mask from
They're doing their schoolwork, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, and that goes for exams as well. Now, I have a situation where that information came out on Tuesday evening, apparently. So I informed my son, I showed him the article, and I told him, well, come tomorrow, that was last week, come tomorrow, you'd be able to remove your mask once you are seated at your desk. So he did that, and he was instructed by the teacher to put the mask on. So I said, well, no problem, because the information was not circulated widely as far as I was aware. But maybe she did not hear. She probably was not aware.
She didn't get the memo.
Right. I said, don't worry about it. You know, it was on the news all Wednesday, was in the newspaper and stuff like that. So he said, well, tomorrow she'll be fine. You'll be fine. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So on Thursday last week, he went to school. I called him to hear it on the news, and he listened. So I said, well, when you go to school, if the teacher says, well, if you take it off, the teacher says, well, you have to put it on. You can just let the teacher know that the Ministry of Education said you can do so, and you saw it on the news. So he went. He sat down according to his story. He took the mask off, and the teacher instructed him to put it back on. And now we collected him just around 12:30. I asked him how it went, and that's what he told me. So I thought something was wrong with that, okay, because I figured, well, the teacher probably at this time still hadn't heard. So I saw the teacher. I said, excuse me, ma'am, is there a problem with the children removing their face mask while they're seated? Well, if your child wants to take off the mask, or if children want to take off the mask, they have to sit down quietly and don't talk and don't look back. I said, I beg your pardon? What does looking back have to do with the removal of a mask? I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. What does talking have to do with the removal of a mask? Well, children ain't comfortable, and I'm not making children uncomfortable to make your child comfortable. I said, but ma'am, it is not about comfort. It is a matter of what the Ministry of Education has said that is permissible. Okay? And she said, I know what the ministry said, but in here you have to be comfortable. I said, but if you are uncomfortable, ma'am, you are free to keep on your mask for the entire duration of school. The lady went on to tell me, if you want your child to be able to take off the mask, he has to sit down quietly and don't look back and don't talk. But I will put your child with like-minded people. I said, but ma'am, that sounds to me as though you're now looking to victimize my child, you know, put him in some distant, remote corner because I'm just telling you what the ministry said. Well, you need to take up that with the ministry. I said, no, I think you need to take it up because you don't seem to understand what the ministry has said. Once they are 6 feet apart and seated, that seems to be a safe distance. The Ministry of Health is comfortable with that, and so is the Ministry of Education. Anyway, I spoke with the principal about the matter, and just like I asked you, Joyanne, I asked her that question. What is your understanding of this protocol? The principal informed me she would have to speak with the teacher and get back to me on that. I said, ma'am.
The principal said that she would have to speak to the teacher about
and get back to me tomorrow. That was Thursday afternoon last week. Mm-hmm. The principal said I would have to speak with the teacher tomorrow and get back to you. I said, ma'am, are you telling me you do not have an understanding of what the ministry said? Or like I said, I will have to speak to the teacher and get back to you. I said, okay, well, if that's the case, I told her then what transpired. I said, well, laying that aside, what I'm asking you now is for your understanding of what was said. Like I said, I would have to speak with the teacher and get back to you. Anyway, up to yesterday, I spoke with an officer at the Ministry of Education, and that was on Thursday. Friday morning, the child went to school. I said to him, again, when you go to school, sit down, take your mask off. If the teacher or the principal tells you to put it on, put it on. I do not want you disobeying the teacher. But tell the teacher, ma'am, I'm putting this on, but I'm doing it under protest because I'm allowed to take it off once I'm seated. So, apparently, he went to school, took it off, according to him. The teacher said to him, the principal will speak with you when she comes down. The principal came and told him, according to him, put on that mask. He said he did. And then the principal went on to tell them, according to him, I wasn't there, Joyanne. He said they were told, in collaboration with the Ministry of Education, it has been agreed that the children that they can wear, while they're seated, they can pull the mask down below their bottom lip. Not take it off, pull it between their bottom lip to cover their chin. And whenever they're going to speak, they have to put back on the mask. I have a problem with that understanding. Because my thing is, why is it everybody else in class 4 seems not to have a problem with the removal of masks once you are seated in compliance with the ministry's protocol? But at this particular school, it seems as though there's a point to be proven.
Do you know if the teacher said the same thing to the other students to keep their masks in this class? Was it only your son?
No. Everyone, apparently, no one is allowed to remove the mask from their face.
Okay.
No one, to my understanding, okay?
Because you weren't there.
I'm not present. But my understanding is they were all told they can, once they're seated, pull the mask down under their bottom lip. Mm-hmm. And whenever they're going to talk, they have to put it back on.
Right.
Now, I don't see how you could possibly make that out from what the protocol says. So I'm just wondering what is going on here. Okay?
And you didn't get a meeting with the actual teacher, principal, together in the same room?
No. Like I said, I spoke with the teacher, and I called the principal, who said she she will have to talk with a teacher to find out what her.
That's my point. You see, that's the whole thing with communication and the problems that we have. When one person speaks to another person and that other person isn't present, you're lost in the translation. Go on.
No, but what I'm saying is, why should you have to speak with Dennis or Suzette or anybody else to find out what your understanding of the protocol is?
So I that, no, sir, in all fairness, when this is your child, right, and you want to make sure that he follows the rules, but he's also safe, you know, in that regard. So the ministry came up with the rule that when you're seated 6 feet apart, you can lower the mask while you're doing your work. When that changes, then of course you put it back on. Of course you have to eat, so you have to lower it again, etc. Some people may not interpret, including teachers, may misunderstand. It's called lost in the translation of information. I will never sit here and assume that I'm talking to you now and 10 people kind of get what I'm saying, because by the time 10 people hear me, somebody repeats what Joanne just said, and three people, another person tells another person, it's a totally different story altogether. So it's always best, and in the interest of your child and you for information, when things like that get muddled, it's best to ask for a meeting, even if it was a three-way telephone call where the principal is there, the teacher. In a COVID environment, I could understand people may not want to meet, but there are other ways and means of communicating. I wouldn't wait to see, oh, well, I'll speak to the teacher and see what her version of the story is, and I'll get back to you. Sometimes it's good just to get this done, everybody present, however they choose to do it, and let's communicate and make sure we're on the same page. A lot of things go wrong.
I agree.
If we don't get that part right, that's so important.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but my question to you was, why would it be necessary for you to speak with Dennis to find out, or anybody else, to find out what your understanding of the protocol is?
I think she needs to be clear that what was communicated, she may figure, look, this teacher really don't understand. Let me hear what her interpretation is of what was communicated.
But her interpretation should not determine your understanding. You understand what I'm saying? You obviously haven't heard the protocol. You would have an understanding.
It doesn't determine my understanding or person's understanding. It determines the action.
No, but we are not talking about the action yet, ma'am. You're missing my point. The point is, I asked the principal about 4 times, what is your understanding of the protocol?
And the principal is, I understand. You're saying, and the principal going to the teacher now to find out what her understanding, the principal understand.
Well, that's what she said. She said, I will have to speak with the teacher tomorrow and get back to you. I said, but are you?
But see, again, this here, to see that kind of communication, your understanding of what the principal said may not really be what the principal said in terms of what she, I can't see her. I'm not saying you're wrong. A principal may, and I'm using the word may because I wasn't there like you. Well, you were present in the conversation. The principal might have said, let me speak to the teacher to see what their understanding is of the situation.
But I'm not asking about the teacher's understanding. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to go to Dennis to find out what Dennis's position is. I started by asking you, Joanne, what is your understanding?
And she never answered you. She answered you by saying, let me see what the teacher's position is. That was her response.
Right, and she hasn't gotten back to me yet.
That's only her way of protecting her staff.
And that is where the problem comes about, because I think rather than, I'm not saying she's being dishonest, but I make a general statement here, rather than people being honest and forthright, we tend to try to cover.
All right, but let me pull back that statement here, because that was a little wide statement for me to make, because I can't actually assume. I will not assume, because sometimes too, even as a communication specialist, I make my mistakes, and I believe I just made one, because it could be that she is protecting her staff, but she also might, before she tells you anything or her interpretation, she just may want to get the facts from the teacher before she weighs in on anything. That could also be the reason too.
Anyway, what I would like, though, in all honesty, is some clarification from possibly someone at the ministry, because like I said, I spoke with an officer who told me he would consult his senior. He got back to me and said, yes, his senior said the children can remove the mask once they are seated. And up to now, we are still having this situation. Well, I'll have to go for him momentarily. But up until yesterday, it was still a situation, they would be only allowed to pull the mask under their chin, and whenever they're going to speak, they have to put the mask on their back, on their noses and mouth. I cannot see how you could possibly come to such an interpretation or conclusion from the protocol that was laid out, that was sent out by the Ministry of Education. So I'm just asking for some clarification. So that those children in that particular class, at that particular school, will be able to enjoy the same rights and privileges, of, if you want to say comfort even, as all the other children. That's all I'm asking for.
Some clarification. And fair enough. And as I said, to get the clarification, I mean, you've done the right thing. The principal, obviously, hopefully will get back to you. If it has to go further to the ministry, if the ministry has to put up more communication and simplify it, because I find that when we put notices out, sometimes it could be a little tricky how they're worded, and you should use simple English, get to the point so everybody can understand. All right?
But I don't see anything tricky about this. But anyway, thank
you
very
listen,
much.
You have a different level. Your understanding, sir, may not be that of everybody's. You know what I mean? So sometimes I just don't take these things for granted that anything you say, people kind of get you. Some people just don't. Thanks very much for that. Thank you
very much.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm almost to your 12:30, so I'd rather let somebody come in, because I know I'm going to go over that time.
Okay, you could start and we could come back, but we'll go to the next caller quickly.
Hello?
Dr. Brass Tacks, yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to make a report to the water authorities.
Mm-hmm.
This pipe in Hilltop, Princess Royal Avenue, the Pine, has been burst. This is about nearly 4 months now. The water is gushing down the street. The street is full of moss, and you know moss going to start bringing the settlement of the water, bringing the mosquitoes. Most of these people in the area are senior citizens. Mm-hmm. They've been trying to contact the water authorities, and they're getting a long wait, and it is unbearable. I'm a resident too, but just not from that area, and they contacted me to try to see what they could do on Brass Tacks where they are.
How long ago you said you made contact with the BWA?
No, I'm saying these older people have been trying to make contact with.
Oh, do you know how long ago that was?
This is going over 3 months now.
3 months?
3 months that this water was burst, and these people are trying all the time.
And give me the location again so that Water Authority is listening. Let's repeat it.
That is Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
In the Pine.
Mm-hmm. So basically, within walking distance of the BWA, but go ahead.
Not walking
literally, but it's in the same area as the Barbados Water Authority.
Right. You can roll down the hill.
You can roll down the hill.
Yeah, right.
BWA, so this is not good. You're next door to this area, and I will make the appeal with you, and I will allow you to say, before we get to the news, repeat the address again. Say how long it was.
Hilltop.
Uh-huh.
Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Pine St. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This pipe has been burst. It's almost 4 months.
Okay. Hilltop, Pine St. Michael. And BWA, if you need a landmark, follow the water trail would help. All right. Want to thank you, sir. I want to correct some information that went out earlier. The unit to contact, this is for the two women that sent a message on my WhatsApp pertaining to having some concerns about child molestation, possible child molestation. The unit to contact is Sex Crimes and Human Trafficking Unit. The Sex Crimes and Human Trafficking Unit, the person in charge of that, the officer in charge, is Acting Station Sergeant Veronica Shepherd Whitney. That's Acting Station Sergeant Veronica Shepherd Whitney. And of course, I mentioned earlier the Domestic Violence Unit, which is headed by Station, today I got a tongue twister, Station Sergeant Christine Husbands, together with Sergeant Weeks. I believe that all units function in the way that they should, in particular the Domestic Violence Unit, which I did say earlier, they do function well. It may be a small unit, but I know they do a fantastic job. And for those of you who may need their assistance, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until something breaks out. If there's something you suspect is happening in your home or can happen going down the road of domestic violence, I'm sure you can contact Christine Station Sergeant Christine Husbands, and you will get the needed assistance. We're going to take another call quickly down to Brass Tacks, and then we're going to read some WhatsApp messages. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Hay.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am good. A lot better.
Good. This is Mary Redmond calling from the BSTU.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good. So far, so good.
Good.
I'm calling in connection with your caller who had concerns in relation to the his son's wearing of the mask in the classroom.
Yes.
And his call is timely in so much as we just yesterday sent off a letter to the chief, copied to the PS, and asking that it be drawn to the attention of the minister in that regard. Now, the teachers have concerns about this change in a protocol that we had agreed to. Our agreement was that children and teachers, in fact, all persons on the school premises, would be wearing masks during the time that school was actually in session. That was what was agreed to by all four teachers' unions and the ministry. Now, subsequent to that, we heard, without any prior dialogue or consultation, that this had changed to allow for children, once they were seated at the desk, not to wear their masks. Now, persons must understand that a school environment, a classroom situation, is not the same as an office. A teacher does not stand in one spot and teach. If you are in an office and you are maintaining your 6-foot physical distancing, perhaps, yes, you can take off your mask. In a situation where a teacher is moving between pupils, checking on work, correcting work, attempting to deal with challenges that a student may have in any particular subject matter or area of the subject matter, it involves a need to have contact that is much less than that 6-foot distance. And so we are very concerned about this unilateral change to a protocol that we agreed upon. Now, we understand, too, that this same change of protocol is to be applied with the conduct of the 11-plus examinations, which is of grave concern, because teachers have to actively go next to a student to distribute exam papers. The teachers have to check and ensure, for example, that the first page of that paper is properly completed. It means walking around to each individual student in the class that you're invigilating. The teacher at the end of the exam has to collect and handle those papers. Now, we know that children especially can be asymptomatic. We know that a lot of virus shedding occurs during the asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic stage of the virus. And therefore, we have concerns that are grounded in the best interests of our health and well-being when we express discomfort with that unilateral change by the ministry to what was previously agreed upon. Now, I know the parent might have been upset at the fact that he was not getting the response that he needed to get. But the parent must understand the peculiar and particular circumstances that operate in a classroom environment. The parent must also understand that many of our teachers have comorbidities. Many of our teachers are hypertensive. And believe you me, teaching would give anybody hypertension.
Listen, teaching, the failures to go to school giving us hypertension at home as parents.
But not meaning to trivialize.
No, I know, but still, yes. Go ahead.
That is the fact of the matter. Many are asthmatic. Many are diabetic. Many have a combination of those things, if not all. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if a teacher is attempting to safeguard his or her interest and that of the students, there must be some level of understanding. Now, what has not been said is whether in the absence of the cloth mask, the student would be allowed to wear a shield
mm-hmm.
or the lighter disposable surgical mask,
mm-hmm.
but to indicate that there could be no wearing of masks at all is very bothersome to us, because along with the protocols of hand washing and keeping your hands from off your face, we know that the use of masks now is what is being promoted as one of the major factors in avoiding the transmission of COVID-19
mm-hmm.
and infection by COVID-19. And I want that to be understood by people, because we are, once we're in the classroom and in such circumstances, frontline workers.
May I ask you a question? So your concern sure. is the unilateral decision, not necessarily that you, because I know with the unions, of course, you have your meetings and you come to some agreement, which you did, to wear the mask. So what you are saying is that the change that occurred, the union was not consulted with that change. The public was consulted, but, or should I say the public was informed, but not the union.
And we were informed along with the public. No.
Okay.
That the lack of consultation is only one concern.
Mm-hmm.
The concern of not giving permission for the students to not wear the mask
mm-hmm.
is an even greater concern, because of the risk that poses to teachers in the system.
May I say something? I mean, it's been a long time. Well, I'm 50 now, but I can still remember being at Comomere School. But if it's a case...
You went to a good school.
Yes.
That was my sixth form school.
Oh, okay. So, well, we adopted you. You're still one of us then. So let me just put it this way then to you, Ms. Redmond, that you would understand from one Comomerian to another.
Yeah.
If it is, that is a problem. One would think that the teachers don't necessarily, during the exam period, go up and down in between students. So let's just say I am there.
No.
Let me just say something. They don't do it all the time. So if I am getting up as a teacher, because there must be a way to work this out. I understand that the teachers, Lord knows, I know a lot of them that have high blood pressure, et cetera, and one or two with diabetes, and they're concerned. Similarly, parents are also concerned too for their children. So people have to meet each other halfway. So if children can take their mask off while you are seated as a teacher, and then the teacher needs to get up, all she has to say is mask on. And then they do that while she walks around, and then she has to sit back down at some point, mask off. If it is that you're teaching and you need to speak to a child one side, a desk could be provided in the corner where the child then would then put on their mask, because the teacher now has to deal with them at that particular desk or at the teacher's desk. So I'm saying that even though it wasn't communicated or the dialogue wasn't there with the union, there's a solution for this, because I'm telling you, their children are asthmatics. They can't take the wearing of the mask for long periods. So
the exam ranges from an hour and 15 minutes to in the math, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
to an hour in and 20 minutes in English.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that could be considered a prolonged period of time, and there is a break in between there. And your analogy of mask on and mask off,
mm-hmm.
what about the student who is not presenting yet, and starts to cough or sneeze on the exam paper that the teacher then has to handle?
But then the 6 feet should come into place.
No. Remember, the droplets are going to go directly on the exam paper
mm-hmm.
that the teacher then has to handle, to collect up, to put in alphabetical order, and the registration number, the order of the registration number of the student.
But again, if you are handling documents, I would think that after handling documents, in this case, you can wear gloves. But if you're handling documents, you should sanitize your hand right after or in between the handling of documents. Ms. Redmond, in all honesty, I feel, I know, there is a solution to this. And I really think that for one to say that an hour and 15 minutes is not long, that's subject to perception in terms of your perception and your feeling. Another parent may be saying, my child is an asthmatic, 20 minutes too long. I've actually heard children said, I can't take the mask. There's some adults that can't.
What about the shield? Our concern is
That's an option. That's an option.
But that is what I said. In the absence of a cloth mask that some may find difficult,
uncomfortable,
they are the surgical mask, the disposable mask that are much lighter.
Correct.
And they're the shield. Our concern is that there is no protection whatsoever.
Understood.
That is our concern. And had we been consulted, then we could have sat down and worked out possibilities, alternatives, so that this level of discomfort and this level of fear now does not exist, and it does not cause the potential confrontation that I am hearing now from the parent.
So you're not objecting, as you said, to it being off. You're saying that the shield could be a replacement. It could be a combination of the two. Some person may want the mask and then pull the mask down but still have the shield on so that they can breathe a little easier. And if they need to sneeze, pull the mask up quickly. I mean, I know it's not an exact science. These are children they were dealing with. But
you know, it is children that we're dealing with all around. Other children around a child who may be ill, and teachers in classrooms with children who may be ill. And we have really come too far now in terms of containing this disease, this illness, to in any way become lax, and especially in what I would call a quote-unquote volatile environment that a school is in relation to something like this and its spread. We really do have to try to not undo what we have achieved so far. We have to have an environment for teachers that is safe and that they feel comfortable working in. That is one of their rights as employees, government employees, in this country.
Now that you're there,
any employee.
I want to ask you a question. I guess this is for myself and all parents of children with special needs. It's so difficult, and I'm even trying to decide what I do in September because I really don't know. Depending on what happens in the country, if we have a spike.
Right.
When you have a child with special needs, it's very difficult to tell them not to hug, not to, you know, be up close to you. And it's something that requires some discussion as to what measures are going to be put in place for our special needs children. It's not going to be easy, I can tell you that, because I'm racking my brain all now and I still cannot come up with anything that can keep my daughter Skye safe while she's at school. That is something that will be discussed, I hope.
Yes, because as a matter of fact, we did have a meeting yesterday in relation to the organization of the 11 Plus. And the chief did reference a letter she had written to us, the unions, asking for recommendations in relation to September. And I did indicate to her that when we had our officers meeting, we talked for hours, and there are so many things that have to be considered in relation to how school will reopen in September, how school will look. And there are so many, for any one recommendation that we came up with, there were so many other variables impacting that recommendation. And I mean, it is not, I can foresee that we will spend a greater part of the next upcoming weeks in meetings trying to organize a resumption of school for the next academic year, whenever that takes place. And to try to cover as many of the possibilities, the variables, the parameters that come into play as we try to organize this in the best interest of our students and our teachers who have to work with them. It's not going to be easy. There are so many examples worldwide where different approaches have been tried, and in short order, schools have had to close because the infection rates went up in the schools. So, you know, even in looking outside of the region for examples to follow, it is not clear-cut. It will not be easy, but in what we do, we have to try to meet the needs of all of those who are part of our system.
And I agree with you, and I think in a COVID environment, the two hardest groups would be commuters, public transport, and schools. It's one of those things that you just can't wrap your brain around, because you know that everything you come with is always going to be this little gap here and there that you can never fully cover. But now that I know that you are an adopted Comamerian, I've always known that you would be able to still get it done, and you advocate a lot, and you're fair. And I say that even without being what I know now, I always thought you were fair. And even in this particular issue where you figured that they should have consulted with the unions, I believe the consultation would be there, and that we can find a solution moving forward that does not disrupt the school, hint hint, while we get that done.
No, we are about consultation. We have always been about consultation. Mm-hmm. Any disruption that has happened previously mm-hmm. has always been a result of a lack of consultation, a lack of respect for our role and responsibilities as a union. Mm-hmm. And once that is not there, we are willing to dialogue, consult, make recommendations, and work with. We are always willing to do that. That is what we are about.
And I want to thank you, and I want to say on behalf of the parents, we have a greater respect, a renewed respect for the teachers, as we continue to pull our hair out, looking like Dennis Johnson with these patches here and there.
We are pulling ours out too, because, as I said, we really want this to work. Uh-huh. I mean, the teachers have gone ahead with very little and last-minute training and done an excellent job with this emergency remote teaching. Mm-hmm. And they have done it with their phones, with other people's computers, when they themselves were lacking devices. They have incurred expenses. They have really gone above and beyond, and I think that, you know, there should be constant recognition and appreciation of the effort in this environment, and mm-hmm. and the teachers will continue, because that is who teachers are.
Yes.
You know, that is what we are as teachers.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Ms. Redmond, and I know everything is going to work out in the way that it should once the right communication is there. We'll be back after the break.